And so I started praying, and I strongly felt that really God wanted to bring something that is going to apply not just in my own life, but for those, I hope, today who will be listening to what God has got to say to you as well. We are about to read in the book of Genesis, chapter 39, but the background of that is that there's a young man called Joseph, and I think a lot of us will be familiar with that. And we join him in chapter 37, and the Bible talks about him having dreams. And he had many dreams. And every time he was sharing his dreams with the people that were close to him, some of them were absolutely rattled by the whole thing. And the Bible tells us they were rebuking him. His father rebuked him for saying certain things he was saying, but those were the dreams that God has put in his heart. And his brothers were jealous, and they hated him for sharing some of these dreams. Hold on to your dreams. Because in due course, God will fulfill the purposes of the dreams he's put in your heart. Hold on to your dreams. So we're joining up now in chapter 39 of the book of Genesis. So if you would like to open up your Bible, and nowadays you flick your iPad and you flick your iPhone and then you get to that chapter. But for the traditionalist like us, we will be opening up our book, and we are going to read in the chapter 39, and we start from verse 1 to verse 23. So, and just before we start reading, I would say to perhaps the people at the back, if I reach 2 hours, if you wave at me, then I will know to stop. Yes. No, that's a joke. After 20 minutes, 25 minutes, please lift your hand. I know there's a clock at the back, but I probably will not pay attention to it. So if you just wave at me, that will give me indication to slow down and wrap up a little bit. So we are reading in the book of Genesis, chapter 39, from verse 1 to 23. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he prospered, and he lived in the house of the Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household and of all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So he left in Joseph's care everything he had. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Now Joseph was well built and handsome. And after a while, his master's wife took notice of him and said, "Come to bed with me." But he refused. "With me in charge," he told her, "my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" And though he spoke to Joseph day after day, He refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. One day he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants was inside. She caught him by his cloak and said, "Come to bed with me." But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. When she saw that he had left his cloak in her hand and had run out of the house, she called her household servants. "Look," she said to them, "this Hebrew has been brought to us to make sport of us. He came in here to sleep with me, but I screamed. When he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." She kept his cloak beside her until his master came home. Then she told him this story. "That Hebrew slave you brought us came to me to make sport of me. But as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." When his master heard the story of his wife told him, saying, "This is how your slave treated me," he burned with anger. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care, because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. It's a long reading, but there is something there for us. The Bible says there is a time for everything. There is a time for everything. And I would like to start this morning by saying there's a time to run. There's a time to run, and it's a time to run away. It's a time to run away. There's a time for everything, the Bible says. And I say to you this morning, there's a time to run away. There's a time to run away. Joseph was in a house, and he was prospered by God. You remember that he had his dream and all these things unraveled. And of course, he was in a strange land. He was in Egypt. He didn't know anybody. He was sold. And eventually, because he held on to the faith he had in God, and God elevated him in a strange place. And the Bible tells us, as we have just read there, that while he was there, the wife of his master wanted him to do something that Joseph knew wasn't right. And Joseph decides it is the time to run away. The Bible tells us he ran away because he had bad offers. He had bad offers. He found himself in a very dangerous situation. There he is, day after day. It is said that the wife was saying, "You need to come with me. You need to sleep with me." But the Bible tells us Joseph decided this offer is not good. This offer that I am getting is not good. And you know in your life, there are certain things that the enemy comes and just offers you and say, "This is a good thing for you." It is time to run away. It is not time for you to sit there and contemplate what is being offered to you, because you know that what is being offered to you isn't right. It is time to run away. It is time to run away. And the reason Joseph has managed to know what it was that being offered to him is against the standard of God. It is against God's standard. He decided that this thing that is being offered to me, when I measure it with God, I realize that this is not a good offer. It's not a good offer, and therefore it is time to run away. It is time to run away. Where you are today, are there things in your life that you know when you measure it with God's standard, it is not good, so therefore consider running away. Only God knows the things that you are facing in your own life today. And you measure it with the measure of God. You measure it with the measure of God, and you decide this is not good, and therefore I'll run away. Now, I would like to put it to you that in the course of growing up, Joseph obviously would have been taught about God. You know, it's like almost Sunday school. His dad would have, you know, sat him and they would go to the temple together and they would pray together. The things that you have been taught while you were young in Sunday school, they have to serve you at some point in your life. The things that we read in the Word of God, they have to serve us at certain time. They have to be meaningful in our lives at certain time. And therefore, the measure of God that we find is only found in the Word of God. This is the book that will enable us to know whether we're being given a good offer or a bad offer. And Joseph was there, and he could have said to himself, well, this lady is asking me to do something that I know I don't want to do, but I do it just to please her. But he said no. He didn't say this is going to be something that will really offend my master only, or something that will offend me. But he said this is something that will offend God. Because we read that it is saying that you are asking me to sin against God. He said, how then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? You know in your life that the enemy is coming to you, Satan is coming to you, and he's saying, why don't you look into this place? Why don't you go into this place? Why don't you do this? And you know that against this standard, that what the enemy is offering you is not good. Don't stand there. Run away. Because you are sinning against God. Now, if you do not know God, whether you are in our midst today, whether you are in your home today, we are asking to consider. Because the Bible says that there is only one that has got the power and the ability to bring salvation, and that is Christ Jesus. And the only way that we can know about this is in the reading of the Word of God. This, the Bible, is not by chance that it has come to us. Because God, the Bible says that it has been inspired by God. So the Bible has its value for our lives. So therefore, when we live the life we live, we have to learn to go back to the Word of God. And we read the Word of God. And I think it's in the book of Joshua where, you know, God was talking to Joshua and said, meditate on these words day and night. The reason why God is asking Joshua to do it, because God knows that when Joshua is learning about God, when he is meditating upon the Word of God, these very words will enhance his life. These very words will help him in his walk with God. So we have to uphold the standard of God. And the only way we can do it is through reading the Word of God. Because we read the Word of God, and then when the enemy comes and says, or give us some offers, we will know, no, this is not what God tells me. You're asking me to do something that I know isn't right before God. And our Lord Jesus, he quoted the Word of God so many times. The Bible teaches us that one day Jesus was fasting, and he has fasted for 40 days, and he was in the desert by himself. And the Bible says that then Satan came. And Satan came and was offering him some opportunities. And every time Satan comes, the Lord Jesus will come against him with a word that is written in the Word of God. So if our Lord is able to do that, it's a good example for us to know that we have to know what the Bible tells us. So we need not to forget to read the Word of God, because that is the standard on which we base our faith. So let us hold on to reading the Word of God. So running away. And one of the other reasons which I would like to say is that for Joseph to run away, for you to run away from situations, is that because you will want to uphold your reputation. You don't want to destroy your reputation. In the story, we have been told that Joseph, because God was with Joseph, so he had a reputation that God was with him, that the anointing of God was with him. It says because of that, everything he did prospered. And the household of Potiphar benefited for Joseph being in his household. How many of you in your own life, because of Jesus, because of God in your life, you have been a blessing to the people around you, at your work, in your neighborhood. And therefore, people see that God is in you and God is with you, and then you become a blessing to the people around you. So you have a reputation to uphold. You have a reputation to uphold. So we have to learn to live according to the Word of God and not be tempted to change that. And also, I would like to say that when we do not run away, it totally removes our integrity. It really does. Because we are known as children of the living God. We are known as sons and daughters saved by grace. It is not our own ability. It is not our own doing. But we have been saved by grace. So the moment that we step into the kingdom of God, that is, we declare Jesus as being our Lord and our Savior, we decided that our lives has changed. The Bible says we are a new creation in Christ Jesus, so we are no longer the same. I am a new person because of Christ in me. And Joseph has decided that he will not live according to what the woman was trying to get him to live. Because he could have said to himself, well, this actually is a good offer. Because there was nobody there, and he could have said to himself, well, I can go and do what I need to do, and nobody else will know, and everything will be fine. But he decided, no, even if God, if there's nobody else is there, but I know God is there. How many times do you tell yourself that despite the fact that, you know, there was nobody here to know, that actually I want to live according to what God tells me? If you're far away from home today, when you're perhaps a student, you'd say to yourself, well, I am now in a different place, you know, I'm far away from home, I can do whatever I want. No, you don't want to do whatever you want, because you want to uphold the integrity of what you have learned while you were at home. So let me encourage you today that no matter how you see yourself, you have a reputation to uphold. It is not for you to go and change. We're reading in the book of 2 Timothy, if you want to join with me. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. So 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. And this is what, so chapter 2, verse 22, says, flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So it says, flee. It says, flee. Run away. Go. Don't sit there and think that, you know, things will change. No, it will not change. Flee. When you have bad choices, when you have bad situations, this is a dangerous area. Run away. And I think Joseph has understood that. And I think we can learn from that. You go at work and you know, people will ask you to perhaps do some gossiping and do and say things. You say no. Walk away, run away, get away. One of the things that I, when I joined the company that I'm in, and I've been with them for a good number of years now, I made it very clear that I have, and this is to myself that is, that I have to live according to the standard of the Word of God. And sometimes, you know, people say, oh, you know, tell them I'm not here. And I'll say, no, I will tell them that you are here, because you are here. You're asking me to lie, and I choose not to lie. Why should I lie for you? It's easy for me to lie for you, and I will do something which will be against God. So therefore, I choose to tell the truth. And nobody is asking me to lie for them. Nobody. So why would you want to lie for anybody? We have to uphold the Word of God. And part of the thing that I say is, if you lie for somebody, how do you know they will not lie about you? So we have to live according to the Word of God. People have to know that we are children of God. That's our reputation. That's our integrity. And therefore, when people ask us to do what we know is against the will of God, what we know is not right before God, we have to run away from that. We have to run away from that. And of course, sometimes it's painful for a short while, because it's painful for Joseph, because for choosing to uphold the standard of God, suddenly he's found himself in prison again. But it is something that he decided, I'd rather go in prison and be in line with God than to actually go and live a life that is totally against God. We have to choose. You have to choose whether we are walking with God or we are walking with the world. Whether we are listening to God or we are listening to the world. So we have to run away. We have to run away. And I would suggest to you that for moments like that for Joseph, it's not time to be, you know, I know I don't have the physique, you know, to probably do a Usain Bolt. But actually, in the Bible, there is a man that did so much better than Usain Bolt. And his name is Elijah. There's a story in the Bible which I think is amazing. It says that there was a time, of course, you know, he predicted that it would not rain and didn't rain. And, of course, the king didn't like that. And then the day he prayed that rain would come, he was on top of a mountain. And he was praying and in talk about perseverance. The Bible says that he had to pray 7 times. And the 7th time, there was a bit of kind of a cloud that was in the sky. And he said to his servants, you better go and tell the king to get on because this rain is coming. There's a storm coming. And the Bible says the king got ready and he has his chariot and he had his horse and off they went. And the Bible says Elijah put his cloak on and put a gourd on and he ran. And he ran and he went past the king and his horse. When you run with God, you will overcome. When you run with God, you will go past the enemy. When you run with God, you will go because God will give you the strength to overrun what you think is impossible. So we run with God. So he runs away. So it is not a time to be trotting. It's not a time to be walking with a certain swagger. No, it's a time to run. It is a time to run and run away fast. And I put it to you that for running away, is you are not a coward for running away. And you are not a chicken. I'm no chicken. You don't see any wings on me. I'm running away because I believe that running away from situations like that, it will prevail my faith in God. It will hold me in God. So you are not weak when you are running away from what you know is a dangerous path. It's something that is there that is going to separate you from God. So run away. Run away. Run away from bad choices. Run away from bad situations. And we run away also in order to remember. The Bible says, do not tempt the Lord your God. Do not tempt the Lord your God. Now, he could have sat there and said, well, okay, I know this is a bad situation. I know this woman is coming to me, and I will just sit here in the house and see what happens. And see what happens. Do not tempt the Lord your God. Run away. Because that is your salvation. That running away from the situation, which you know is not right. Running away from gossip, running away from the things that you know is actually putting people off in knowing Jesus, run away from them because that has become your salvation. There's a story that I've heard before whereby it's a scenario, you know, of a man who found himself, there was a big flood. And he managed to go on top of his roof because there were lots of water. And the story goes on to say that at some point there were some people on a boat that came in and said, oh, come on, come down and we'll help you and we'll go. He said, oh, no, it's fine. God is coming to save me. And somebody else came in and they said, come on, we'll help you. Let's go. Oh, no, 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 he said. God will save me. And somebody else came in, the same scenario, the same answer. God will save me. Do not tempt the Lord your God. Don't sit where you are. And then he dies and he goes to heaven. And he says to the Lord, well, you know I've been righteous and I've walked with you and all that. But one thing I want to ask you, he says. Why didn't you save me when the flood came in and I was on top of that roof? And God says, 3 times. I came to save you, and you said no. 3 times, Do not tempt the Lord your God. When God is giving you the opportunity to be saved, do not walk away from that. Because that is your salvation. Today is a day of salvation, the Bible says. And if God is calling you today, whether you are in your home, whether you are here today, do not walk away, because God is giving you the opportunity to walk away from things that will destroy you. Do not tempt the Lord your God. And so, running away, we run away fast. We don't wait to find out what could happen. Because when you have bad offers, one of the things sometimes that the enemy comes in and he will say, well, he could have said, well, okay, here's an opportunity for you, and it will be just, we'll just do this once, Joseph, just once, and that's it. It's never only once. Because had it been that Joseph had decided, okay, fine, to please you, we'll just do this thing once and forget about it and it won't happen again. It will happen again. They ask you to lie at work. You do it once, they will ask you to do it tomorrow. You go and do the wrong thing in your neighborhood, and because you want to please the people, they ask you to do it once. I guarantee you the next day they will tell you to do the same because you have given in. So today, do not listen to the voice of the enemy. Do not listen to the voice of Satan, because what he's asking you to do today, and if he says, oh, it will be just for today, tomorrow he will ask you the same thing. It's never only once. And the other thing is, he will say, well, you will like it. No, you will not like it. Because of the regrets, because of the remorse, because of the pain that you will feel in your soul. Because the fact is, had it been that Joseph decided, well, okay, fine, you will do this, and I'll probably like it, you know, just for a moment. But he would not have liked it, because he was going to feel that the pain of having disobeyed God. Because he would not have upheld the standard of God. But also, he said at the beginning in the story that my master has given me everything. I can have everything in this house except you. Why would you want to listen to the enemy and receive the word from him to say that you will like it? No, you will not like it. Because you will have regret, you will have heartaches, you will have pain in your soul after you say yes to him. And the other option that comes up from the enemy is that nobody will know. Because in the story, we are told that at that point, there was nobody else but the two of them. Nobody else. There are times in your life you do things, you think about things, and there is nobody else. You look around, you think to yourself, it's just me. Nobody else will know. Oh, yes, somebody will know. Somebody will know. In fact, somebody already knows, and that somebody is God. The Bible says that God knows everything. So do not sit in your home today and think that the things you're doing, nobody knows, because God knows. Don't go in living the life that you're living and think that nobody knows. God knows. See, it's very easy to fool men. What I mean by men is human beings. Sometimes people have got this ability to just, you know, live a secretive life. But be mindful that whatever you do in this earth, God knows. In fact, the Bible tells us, which I think is very exciting, it says he knows the end from the beginning. In other words, there is nothing that goes on until the end of time that God has not known, that he doesn't know, that he has not actually known. He knew that already. In fact, we're going to read in the book of Psalm, chapter 139 and verse 8 to 10. So the book of Psalm, chapter 139, verse 8 to verse 10. If I go up the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depth, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely, the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. And I've just read an extra two verses there. It says, there's no place that I can go where God is not. So we need to remember that. God is everywhere, and God knows everything. And what the enemy will keep telling us is that the very thing that he's offering us will benefit us. No, they will not benefit us. They will separate us from God. So we should not entertain any bad choices. We should not entertain any bad offers, because they will only destroy us. So now we are saying we are running away from bad situation, from bad choices, from things that are separating us from God. But we have, when you're running away, you have to run into somewhere. And we have to run into something. And we have to run into a place. And I suggest to you this morning that not just is it time to run away, but it's time to run into the refuge of God. We're running into. So we're going from one place into another. So now the opposite is that we are running into the refuge of God. And if you just bear with me, and we'll read in the book of Psalm again, we're remaining there, chapter 46. So we go back to chapter 46, verse 1 to 3. And the Bible says, God is our refuge and strength, and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. God is our refuge. And I will just read one more verse to do with that, which is still remaining in the book of Psalm, chapter 7, and the verse 10 says, my shield is God Most High, who saves the upright in heart. So God is our refuge. We are running away, but we have to find a place that will be of a help to us. And the first thing, there are three things which I think will help us in this God being our refuge, is we run into the safety of his name. We run into the safety of his name because we pray to God, we pray to Jesus, because we believe that in the name of Jesus, as we pray, it will be done. So that in itself becomes our safety, it becomes our refuge. I know we're reading quite a few verses, but these are verses that will help us a great deal. And in the book of Proverbs, book of Proverbs, chapter 18, verse 10, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10, and the Word of God tells us, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. We're looking for safety. We're looking to get away from what is destroying us. We're running into the safety of the name of Jesus. And it has become our shield. And once we're in there, that shield, we're safe. We are safe. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. It has become our safety. We are safe in the name of Jesus. We are safe in the name of Jesus. The Bible tells us there is no other name by which man shall be saved. There is only one. Now the offers are, there are lots of other names. The offers is that there are lots of other people that can save you. The Bible tells us there is no other. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He is the Son of the living God. He is the great I am. He is Jehovah Shalom. He is the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is nothing in this world that you can go through and not have if you look to Jesus. If you come to Jesus, you will be safe. You will be safe. No temptation will be great for you not to be able to get out of when you have Jesus. There is nothing that you can face in this life that can bring you down if you call on Jesus. Save me, Lord, he says. Save me. And he will come out. The Bible says that the Lord is waiting for the people to call. He said, when you are in trouble, call me and I'll come to you. There is power in the name of Jesus. And he says it will break every chain, the chain which is holding us here to say these are good things. We know they're not good things and we're struggling with it. Do I stay? Do I go? You know that song, do I stay? Do I? No, we're running away because we know that has become our salvation. But sometimes we feel we don't have what it takes to get out of that. Let us call on the name of Jesus and he will come and rescue us. That's what he will do. We will call on the name. The Bible says his name is above all names. His name is above all names. There is nothing in this world, nothing that can withstand the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. There is power in the name of Jesus. The second thing is we run into the holiness of God. The Bible says, be holy as I am holy. We run into the holiness of God. I'll be finishing very soon. We run into the holiness of God. Be holy as I am holy, he says. We serve a holy God. As he is, we have to be. He saved us from walking into ways that were not right, into things that were not right. And now the Bible says we are a new creation. I am a new person. I am no longer the same. The somebody you knew before he got saved, he's not the same. You're looking at somebody who is new today. Somebody who is filled with God. Somebody who's had the desire for God. Somebody who wants to walk with God. Somebody who wants to be like his Father. And my Father in heaven, he is so amazing. I want to be like him. So that when I walk in the street, they will say, there goes a son of this God. There goes a daughter of this God because of his likeness. So we have to choose to be holy as he is. We do not live as we were. We are now new. We have to live holy. The enemy comes and say, well, go and live the way you want to live. No. We have to live as the God that we are serving is asking us to live. And if you are in your home today, I pray in the name of Jesus that the Spirit of God will enable you to live a holy life as he is calling us to live a holy life. Be holy, he says. We don't have a choice about it. Some things, you know, you think, oh, well, we can do what? No. He said, for them to know that you are my children, this is how you have to live. So therefore, we go according to the standard of the Word of God. And the Word of God tells us, be holy, for I am holy. Be like me, he says. Be like me. So let today be a new day for you. A day for you to sit down and say, I no longer want to do the thing that I know is against the standard of God. I want to live a life that God will look at me and say, I am so pleased that you are like me, my son, my daughter, because God is in me. Be holy as I am holy. In the book of Philippians, we're finishing. I just got one more thing, and then we'll be finishing. In the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 8. Earlier on in the week, that's something that we have read as a group in this building. And this is what the Bible tells us. Finally, brothers. And brothers means brothers and sisters. Finally, to you who are here today, finally, to all the men and women in this church today, finally, to you who are at home today, finally, whatever is pure, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. I think we can stop right there. That's it. We can stop right there. It says, whatever is of God, look out for those things. Yearn for those things. Ask for those things. Live a life that is holy. A life that is pure. He says whatever is excellent and praiseworthy that comes from heaven, look out for those things. So in order to do that, you have to run away for the things that will stop you from looking out. We have to run away from them. We don't give them any thought because they will destroy us. We run away from them into the safety of our God, into the refuge of our God. And God is telling us, look, my children, God is telling us today, live a holy life. Live a holy life. Be holy as I am holy. And finally, we run into the safety of his love. We run into the safety of his love. You see, Jesus died on the cross because he loved us. He didn't have to do it. He didn't have to do it. But he did it out of love. What manner of love is this we sing? Why would he do it? God saved me, saved you, because he loves you. He loves me. And God is giving you the opportunity today, if you don't know his love, to come to him and say, yes, I will take that love. And he will love you and he will save you. We run into the safety of his love. And there is absolutely nothing that can separate us from this love. And don't take my word for it. We shall read what the word of God tells us as such. And we find that in the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 38 to 39. It says here, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." There is nothing that can take away this love that he has for me. Nothing will shake it. Even if they shake it, they can't take it away from me, because I know his love is absolutely pure. His love is absolutely certain. And therefore, I know that whatever I go through today and tomorrow and the rest of my life on this earth, I know that the love of God will remain the same for me. And that is the same for you. He loves you with a love that nobody can comprehend. He loves you with a love that is unique. Absolutely unique. Let me encourage you this morning to run into the love of your God. When things are tough, when things are not as they meant to be, when the temptations come, run into the safety of his love. Because he will help you. Because he will uphold you. He will lead you. Because the thing is, humanly speaking, we shall be defeated by the enemy. On our own, we're nothing. On our own, we're absolutely nothing. But hey, good news for you. I am more than conquerors through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. It's not my own doing. That's my good news. My good news is that the love of God will remain the same for me. Isn't that brilliant? Isn't that brilliant? That there is nothing that the enemy can do to pull us down to the point of just losing everything. God is on our side. When we mess up, he comes and says, "Get up, come on, I'll help you up." And we move on. There is always hope. There is always hope. So we run away and we run into the safety of our God. The cross changed everything. The moment we look to the cross, it changed everything. In fact, the Lord himself said, "It is finished." It is finished. Because the cross has accomplished God's purpose for humanity, for you, for me, for those at home. The cross changed everything. And if you have not encountered that yet, the cross can change everything for you. Does it mean that life will be hunky-dory, as they say? No, sir, it will not be. Does it mean that your life will be trouble-free? No, it doesn't mean that. But what it means is his love for you will not change even when you fall. What it means that when it is hard and difficult, God will be on your side to lift you and carry you. And carry you. There is salvation in this house. When you know that Jesus is on your side. Oh, we serve a great God. Sometimes we don't understand the depth and the enormity of who this God we are serving. Let us not limit God in our own understanding. Let us uphold God according to what it says here. Because God is immense. The one who made the heavens and the earth. The one who made everything, who made you. The Bible says, while you were still in your mother's womb, he knew you. So he knows you. He knows your thoughts. He knows your coming and your going, the Bible says. He knows everything about you. The troubles you're going through, the pain, the hardships and everything. He knows. Oh, he knows, my brother, he knows. He knows, my sister, he knows. God knows what goes on in your life today. But I tell you, there is hope, because if we run into the safety of this God that we are serving, we shall overcome. We shall overcome by the grace of our God. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Wow, thank you. Thank you, Samba. Thank you for the powerful word. Wasn't that great? Yeah? Very good. You should come and preach again. Soon. Oh, that was great. Great word there. I'll ask the worship team to come up and we'll